Hello, Malcolm here. I have a question for you. What is your picture of the gospel? How do you view it? Now, this is part one of two classes for May 2024 for the Thames Valley Churches of Christ, a class designed to be used for stimulating discussion in our local groups. And it continues the series of New Creation. So this is class five, New Creation, New Picture of the Gospel, part one. So what is your picture of the gospel? Doubtless it's affected by your personal spiritual biography, by your own formative spiritual experiences. But is it possible that your view of what the gospel is incomplete or even a bit distorted? It could be. And so as we go through these two classes, I'm hoping that we can clarify what the gospel is and get a better picture, perhaps even a more compelling and inspiring picture. You see, for a lot of people, the gospel is just left at a very basic level, simply about forgiveness, going to heaven, avoiding going to hell. But I don't think that's all there is to it when we're talking about the gospel. So part one today, part two next time. Let's dig into this topic. Firstly, let's talk about the good news. Now, the gospel, when we talk about the gospel is not the same as the gospels, the first four books of the New Testament detailing the life of Jesus, recorded by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's not the same thing. And the English word gospel comes from an old English word, Godspell, meaning good news. And that's right, because gospel in the Greek is the Greek word euangelion, which is means good news, literally. And perhaps the idea that we see in the New Testament, we talk about the New Testament gospel, actually comes from the Old Testament, Isaiah 52 and verse 7. In Isaiah 52 verse 7, it says, "How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces," and this is the content of the good news, you see, "announces peace, brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation, and says to Zion, your God reigns." Now, in your local group, you might like to have a bit of a discussion about this verse. What does this tell us about even the New Testament understanding of the gospel? When he's talking here about the good news being about peace, happiness, salvation, and God reigning. And when you understand that Jesus had that in his mind as he taught about the gospel, then that may shape the way that we think about the gospel. Now, what's the image here in Isaiah 52 about the person coming to announce these things, the feet of the people on the mountains coming to bring this news? What's the image here? The image is someone running from the battlefront. They've been at the battle, and now they are a messenger bringing news back to their home, city, state, or whatever about the results of the battle, who won and who lost. So they're bringing news. And in this case, of course, it's good news, which means they're bringing good news of a military victory. And as they're running back towards their home, city, state, town, there would be watchmen there waiting for news of the battle. Everybody would know the battle was going on. So what's the news? And of course, television, no internet, no WhatsApp service in those days. So you had to have a physical person run and bring the good news. So they would run. And the watchmen were there on the ramparts of the city or perhaps in a watchtower. And they were watching for the runner. And they were trained to recognize the running style of the runner. And the running style of the runner would tell them what the news was even before the person arrived. And so if they saw the runner doing what you might call the survival shuffle, they would know it was bad news. The battle was lost. If, on the other hand, their legs were pumping and the dust is flying and they'd be seeing it from a distance, then it was good news. And they could even give the good news to the people of the city before the runner even arrived. They would be able to say, we're seeing the survival shuffle. It's not good news. Or they'd be able to say, look at that dust fly. Man, they are really going for it. It must be good news. And they'd be able to tell people, it's good news. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. And you see, that's a bit like what happens with John the Baptist. He says, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Anyway, that's another perspective we'll talk about another time. So in essence, this is what the gospel is all about. God has won the victory. Our God reigns. He's won the victory over sin and death because of what Jesus has done. That's the gospel. He's won the victory, and we are part of the victorious people. We now share in that victory. We share in the celebration. So the gospel is good news that is celebrated, celebratory, leads to celebration. We are the celebrating people. And that's a key element of what it means to be with God, to be in his kingdom, to be understanding what the gospel is. We are able to celebrate because the victory has been won. It is true that in this life we have trouble and trial, and we don't have all the fruits of the victory here, not till the next life. But nonetheless, we can celebrate in advance because we know the full ultimate victory has already been won, and we will one day fully participate in that. So we are a good news people. Fundamentally, we're a good news people. There are tough times, even in our church lives, even in our congregational lives, there are tough times. There are times of sin, there are times of mistakes made, of hurt feelings, of wounds, and of even trauma. But we're still somehow able, because of Jesus, to be the good news celebrating people. So the first point here is to try and get a better grasp on what it means that we are the good news people that can celebrate. But secondly, let's talk about Jesus a bit here, because it's helpful to look at how he defined the good news, the gospel. And in particular, Jesus connects the good news with the coming of the kingdom. Indeed, they are one and the same. For example, in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 15, it says, "Now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God, the good news of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel, the good news.'" So he's putting these two things together. He's preaching the gospel. He's asking them to repent and believe the gospel. But what is it? It's the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. And why did Jesus see the gospel as the coming of God's kingdom? Well, it's because the kingdom is where God reigns and gets his stuff done. And because his stuff is good, things like love, mercy, justice, forgiveness, healing, wholeness. These things are good, right? And because his stuff is good, it's good news that the kingdom is here. It's an attractive place. And that's why, thinking about the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, that's why we pray that prayer in verse 10, "Your kingdom come." We want this here. We want it now. Please, God, bring your kingdom here. What good news it is that it is here and coming. Bring it to a fullness of reality in our lives and around us. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the heavenlies, his will is done perfectly all the time, every time. Bring that here, please, God. That's our prayer. So when you pray that prayer, I'm assuming you do, or version of it, when you pray that phrase, what image do you have in your mind? What are you hoping for? What are you expecting will happen if God answers that prayer? That could be a useful discussion with your friends. And Romans 14 gives us a clue as to what this actually looks like. Romans 14, verse 17, it talks about a very different kind of life. The kingdom life, the gospel life, completely different kind of life to the way that we used to live and the rest of the world lives. Romans 14, 17, excuse me. "The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Peace is repeated here from also Isaiah, we looked at earlier. It's not about eating and drinking, it's about righteousness, peace, and joy. Peace and joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Very different kind of life. So how does that look? Again, a good question. And Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 to 15, Paul says that you should have your feet shod in preparation for the gospel of peace. Again, peace emphasized. So something around peace seems to be particularly significant about the gospel, the kingdom, the gospel. What does that mean, do you think? Having our feet prepared with the gospel of peace. Ephesians 6, 15. So we are, you and me, we are in God's kingdom and we share in the practices and the promises of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, how are these to be manifested in your life and mine, in your local group and mine? Let's wrap up by thinking about how we might better cultivate a healthy view of the gospel. How do we grow this healthy, holistic, rounded, fully orbed view of the gospel? How do we do that? Well, let me give you a few questions and a suggestion or two for reflection and discussion in your local group. You may not have time to talk about all these, but maybe pick out a few, and then the other ones you could always take home to think about. So one thing you might like to do is to write a one-sentence description of the gospel, something you could perhaps share with other people, and then share that with each other in your group, like, this is what I think the gospel is. Well, let me listen to your idea. And perhaps also another way, similarly, you could look at this is, how would you explain the gospel to someone who's never heard it before? They have no idea what the gospel is, and you've got 3 minutes to tell them what you think the gospel is. What would you include? What might you have to leave out? But what would you say is the core, the essence of the gospel? That's something you could discuss. A third thing you could think about is to ask each other and yourself, how does Jesus embody the gospel message? How does he embody it? How does he reveal it in who he was and how he was and what he did, what his priorities were and how he treated people, how he related to God? How does he embody the gospel? Another question you might like to discuss is, what key biblical passages define or illustrate the gospel message? Which ones are important, do you think, that show us what the gospel message really is? Another question, what are the most common misconceptions about the gospel you've heard, or perhaps that you used to believe? Common misconceptions. Another question, which aspect of the gospel is most meaningful to you? We've talked about peace and joy and righteousness and victory and God reigning. Which aspects of the gospel is most meaningful to you? You might like to share that in your group. You'll maybe hear different things. Another question, how could your local group grow in understanding and living the gospel? Finally, a suggestion. If you want to get a better picture of what the gospel is, why not read one of the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and then make specific notes on anything you notice that reveals the gospel, teachings of Jesus, actions of Jesus, things that happen in one of those gospels. Maybe pick one, go through, just asking that question all the way as you read each verse, each paragraph, each chapter. What am I seeing here about the gospel? Make a note, write it all up. Maybe write it all up as a one-pager and share it with other people in your group. In fact, if you'd like to share it with me, I'd love to see that. But anyway, that'll do for today. I hope you found these thoughts helpful. Drop me a line if you have any questions or suggestions, things you'd like to see added into the next class, which I haven't recorded just yet. I will do in 2 or 3 days. So, you know, when you see this, send me a suggestion if you can. You can email me, malcolm@malcolmcox.org, and I'll do my best to reply or add your thoughts in if I can. Next time, we're going to go on to explore what Jesus' gospel means for specifically mission and for life. Till the next time, I hope you enjoy living as a new creation. I hope you enjoy living in the gospel and living the gospel out for others to see and for God to be glorified. Take care and God bless.